Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you. This is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all. This is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore. You've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
You are listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues, brought to you by Key Media, happily200.hghbreakthrough.com. Once again, happily200, and that's the number 200.hghbreakthrough.com. Bragg, BRAGG.com, happily200.com, thebodycan.com. Sir Jason Winter T, and drvalerie.com, and doctor is all spelled out. Now, Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio that's changing the world, and we've been working at this. This wasn't a slow thing here that's happened. This will 2018 will be our 31st year on radio. And we've called in from some interesting places around the world. So sometimes you'll hear cell phones crackling or telephones ringing or dogs barking or angels singing or something of that nature. Hey, it's just life as usual over here at Waking Up in America, because we're waking up and we wake up all over the world, and that's very exciting. So now, when Jesus spoke to us in Aramaic, and he did the Lord's Prayer, you probably think that means you're supposed to get down on your knees beside your bed and say, you know, thank you, God, and all that kind of stuff. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Don't hear that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But what pray actually means in Aramaic is to go out into the world and claim that which is yours. And sometimes out in the world, people will offer you things, and you'll turn them down because you're too tired or you can't see how to do them or whatever. And I'd love to give an endorsement to Landmark Education here and to LifeSpring and to Insight Training Seminars and all the different training seminars that actually give people access to things outside of the the illusion of the paradigms that we live in. One of the reasons why Happily 200 is so important is there are actually people on planet Earth that have lived that long. They're certainly mentioned in the Bible, but it's also very important because it's outside of the paradigm that we're being trained into, with our little chemtrails and slave work and 80-hour work weeks and have-to-have-have-to-haves and all the coughing and sickness and GMOs and the things that we try to sort our way through. You know, here we are. We're doing it. And we're coming to the end of this particular millennium of evil, so I'm understanding, Randy. When I don't think you were on when David was on, but what he was saying end of 2,000 years of time of which the evil cabal would rule the earth, and it's now over. So I know you had some comments that you wanted to make about what dear Mr. President Trump has been up to. So
yes, I see so many things just coming out and being exposed, individuals being exposed, which is interesting. Since he took office, since he was elected, look at some of these great things that have been happening. And, you know, maybe people aren't feeling it in their back pockets yet, and that's okay. I think over, you know, if he gets this tax breakthrough, all kinds of things. But let's just go with what has happened. Economically, unemployment is down, jobs are up, wages are up, the housing index is better, prices are up, the stock market's up, and it's soared to new levels that we haven't seen in forever, if ever.
Randy, I just want to interject there, because I hoped you'd actually have some of the numbers. I had at one point the numbers on this, but the job market is the best it's been in like 17, 18 years. So it's not just that the job market is better, It's like mm-hmm. it's significantly better. The things that you're mentioning, Randy, mm-hmm. they're all happening, but they're happening in even bigger numbers. I don't know if you heard. Is Paul back yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. So I heard that over 5,000 arrests, I've heard that people are actually cutting out of congressional terms. I've heard that there's actually funds that legislators have to pay off their little sexual exploits.
Mm-hmm. It's been a wicked, 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 wicked world. And this stuff is coming out. And people are getting exposed. I mean, it's been known, and I think pressure is being put on for these people. Go away. Don't even think about trying to become reelected. Pay and take care of the people you have harmed, because these people have left a road of carnage of women and men.
Oh,
and
no, you don't understand. This carnage
yes.
road that they've been paying off, they've been doing this for years so that nobody would know. This isn't the good side of them doing stuff.
Oh, no. I'm saying I think they're being pressured to get out. And if you run for reelection, it's all going to come out and it's going to get exposed. And you will go to prison.
There are people that have already stepped out of their congressional terms. All I'm doing is making a point here, and Randy is too. And Mike in the background, I don't know where Paul went, God bless him. Things are changing. And according to David, the 2000 rain is up. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to hide in the hills. I don't know if you heard, Randy, but there was a, back in World War II, let's see, World War II would have been over in the Philippines, would have been over, 1945, right? 20 years
mm-hmm.
later, 20 years later, they find a Japanese soldier on an atoll. And he's fighting
yeah.
for his life, okay? 20 years after the war is over.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing.
What they
incredible.
Actually do is they actually leaflet him and let him know the war is over and it's safe for him to come home. The guy was that loyal, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
well,
and we hold on to our stuff, just like the soldier that didn't know the war was over. You know, we hold on to our stuff. Things are changing. You're going to see some changes.
Well, the good thing is like some of those bad trade deals that were being negotiated, if you would call that. I don't even know if they were negotiated, but, you know, the TPP was eliminated. The Paris Climate Accord was eliminated. Trump is making the UN accountable, which I don't even like this group, but he's making them accountable for all of the financial burdens that it put on Americans. And then the media, Trump went after all of this political correctness BS. And if you remember in the last year, before he was elected, I told you behind the scenes, I don't really want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about that. And it was not easy for us to speak because I felt like the eyes of the deep state were on us. Even if we are a small little show, it doesn't matter. That, you know, it was not easy to talk. And so he has called out all this fake news media and he's exposed them. And then, you know, talk about the sexual perversion in Hollywood, like you said, the government, the media, the arrests of the pedophiles and the networks and the sex trafficking. I mean, grown men have thought that this is okay because they were all getting away with it. And it's getting exposed, and I am loving it. People exposing themselves and him with all of these investigators. You know, if Paul comes back on, he talks about how many arrests are actually happening around this country, and it's being taken down. And it's about time. It's wonderful.
Well, I totally love it. I went to see the movie Wonder last night.
Okay, who's in that?
Well, Julia Roberts. I'm a sucker for Julia Roberts. But I saw this mm-hmm. the story about this strange little boy. I was actually trying to Google it this morning, and they said that he wasn't a real character. But he certainly could be, and they have Julia Roberts giving birth starting out the movie, and then people throwing a blanket over this kid and running away with it, and his name's Augie. And so I'm calling this particular show Augie in December, August in December, because his name is August. And he's just an extraordinary little kid, and what he has to go through, because he looks so strange, and believe me, he looks strange.
So is it something you would recommend everybody go see? Is there a message?
Well, we would recommend it because what happens is that you see what happens when people have courage. There's one scene. He reminds me of this little guy named Ben. I took my encounter bats, foam bats for fighting, over to the grammar school when my kids were little. And I offered to let them fight with each other with these foam bats where they couldn't hurt each other. And there's this little boy that was there, Benji. And Benji kicked a young woman that was twice his size. He was a little spindly kid.
Okay.
He's holding this encounter bat in his hand, and she's like twice his height. She's got the other bat, and she's just whumping him, right? And he hauls off, and he gets her behind the knees, right? And then he hauls off and poops her again in the front. And now, mind you, it was laughable. It was kind of like a fly attacking an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
See? But the look on Benji's face, the look on his face that he had stood up to this brute, right, of a person, he was forever transformed. The teachers told me that I could come over with those bats anytime that I wanted to. You know? This one little kid, you could see the transformation. The same thing was true in the movie. There's a scene in the movie where these bullies are there, and this little guy, he's totally strange. He's just handling it. He's like saying, they're telling him he has to do this or he has to do that. And he said, no, he doesn't. And he's talking like somebody that's 10 feet tall. And I think it's an inspiring thing to see that people, I watch Speechless too. Do you ever watch that, Randy?
No, I don't even have a TV. I don't know what it is.
There's a little boy named JJ who sits in a wheelchair, and he's got quite a good sense of humor, but he can't talk. And his mother is Minnie Driver, and she's nutty as a fruitcake in a wonderful way. So mm-hmm. I'm enjoying, you know, I've had a lot of trouble with arthritis and stuff, and I get really sorry for myself sometimes. This is not clearing up as fast as I think. And then I go see something like August, the Wonder Boy, or I go see, watch Speechless and see what these kids have to do to get the day done. And I just admire people that take things on that aren't ordinary. I know that there's a kid that's as messed up looking as this one is. I actually saw one singing on, a woman singing on The Voice.
Okay.
Maybe she'd been burned in a building had burned down, and her face was totally distorted, and she had the singing voice of an angel.
Wow.
So it's like, we got all kinds of good stuff in here. Who knew Randy was a doctor? I knew she was a doctor.
You know what, Val? You know, the world is not served by us playing small.
No, you're absolutely correct.
You know, and if you're playing small in this one life you've been given, you got to look at, okay, what do I have to do to make a change? Am I playing to win? How can I do better? These are important things to ask. I mean, I can't even believe my life. It's like just when I think I'm like spiraling down, then I get a phone call, and in a moment's notice, things have changed. I met with formulators this week and told them what I wanted to do. And we're going to start to put this ball in motion next year. I met with a world-renowned chef. He wants to do a book together, a couple of books. Met with a double board certified veterinarian or a double board certified MD who's also a veterinarian, and he came out and said, "Look, I think your book will go farther if I put something in it." I said, "Absolutely." I mean, he came at me. So you got to play this game to win it. And like I said, the world isn't served by us playing small. There's so much in every person. All they have to do is reach into it. And for me personally, in my walk, I get down on my face and I cry out to God and doors open. You know, some don't believe in that. That's my thing. I do. I feel like I really have a relationship. And I go to him in good and in bad. So you have to play this game of life how you want to play this game of life and play it to win. That's it.
Runner speaking. Did that, is that Paul coming back?
I think I'm back. I hope I'm back. I tell all my colleagues, technology is great when it works.
Right, I totally get it. So we were talking about the movie Wonder, and we were talking about people that have different disabilities, and, you know, just like what it takes to function in the world with that. And I know you, that you've been running around doing a lot of stuff. Randy's was talking about the good stuff that's been happening since Trump's been president. I love that he had dinner, by the way, over in the Forbidden City with the Chinese. That's very cool.
Well, you know, I don't know very much about the movie Wonder, except that pretty woman is starring in it.
Yes, isn't she? And she's a good artist in it too, Julia Roberts, folks. She does a really good job, and so
does Owen Wilson. She does a good job. And I suppose I have sort of bad pun, first-hand experience about disabilities. You know, I broke my wrist in the L.A. Marathon, my right wrist, and the world is not made for left-handed people.
Not really.
Yeah,
but they are unique. They are special.
You also got your knee and foot on that tooth in, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but that was nothing. The two wrists. However, you know, I'm still recovering from surgery.
God.
And you know, it's clear that the American with Disabilities Act needs to be shored up a bit. You know, it's on crutches right now. I think there's some gaping holes in the act, and I hope something will be done about it, because for instance, sidewalk ramps for people with wheelchairs, there just aren't enough of them, if there are any at all. There are very, very, very few sidewalk ramps. I noticed that when I had my experience with the sidewalk ramp. So at the minimum, because there are so many people in wheelchairs these days, and a lot of elderly with walkers, and the fact is that, you know, if you're elderly and you have a walker, you can't always lift it to the level of the sidewalk on which you're going to attempt to scale.
Got it. Unfortunately, I do. I actually talked, Paul, to the Citibank manager in the Pacific Palisades. And I said, you know, I don't see a whole lot of people in your bank, and I think one of the reasons is because it's dangerous. The sidewalk outside of your bank, you may claim that it belongs to somebody else, but these are your customers that are falling down, and I showed them the scar I have over my eye from it. Their sidewalk is totally uneven, and I did manage to get them to fix half of it. But these are things that we can take on as individual missions for ourselves in the world.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
We need to go out into the world now, okay? And so we've been hibernating, surviving, fighting, all this kind of stuff, and the evil is being peeled back, and we can go out into the world. This global currency reset, yes, Dorothy, it really is going to happen someday. I heard it's supposed to be that it's at 95% now. What they've been doing, Paul and Randy, from what I've heard, is that they've been running simulated runs to see the percentages of what it would take to go through. And they now have it at 95% going through. However, my upset with them at this particular moment, I don't know if my upset makes one whit of difference, is that tonight's a full moon and the beginning of Mercury in retrograde. Now,
it is a full moon tonight.
The strength of Mercury in retrograde. I don't know if you have any comments on how to neutralize retrograde, Paul.
How to neutralize it?
Yeah, what do we do? I heard the only thing I heard about retrograde is it's good for you if you happen to be born in retrograde. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think neutralization is the right verb.
I'm not sure it is either, but I'd like to do something to erase retrograde.
Explain retrograde, Val.
The planets move in a different direction, and when they do, there tends to be communication breakdown. Mm-hmm. And it goes on for, you know, 2-3 weeks at a time, stuff like that. So usually when you're, one of the recommendations for retrograde is not to sign contracts or agree to things, and this is supposed to be the big contract signing, agreeing to thing time coming up, which was supposed to be 100% sure before October 31st, and now we're noticing that we're in December. And I've had quite a few friends die waiting for this to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. I know that it is, and I understand one person in Canada cashed in. If only, why only one is my question. Sources confirm that we are rapidly reaching a simulation rate of 95%. Merkel and Netanyahu are being handled. There is no longer a problem. Flynn is pleading guilty was the big awaited court trigger for the massive corruption to take down the U.S., which would spark the transition to a restored republic. The tax reform bill is also a part of this transition. The bill represents the preemptive transition to a restored republic, like new skin emerging from shedding old skin. High alert notifications have been sent out to everyone involved in the RB process. An 800 call center personnel have already been preemptively called in, and the RB release approval is currently pending. And this has been going on for days. So,
I've been asked on the show moments ago, the gauntlet has been thrown down. Explain retrograde, Paul, quote unquote. I can't.
Okay. Randy, are you at your computer?
I am.
Pull up.
But I did
Mercury in retrograde and see what it says, and we'll just give them the straight scoop on it.
I'll do that. I did have, since you brought up full moon, some information about the parasites, and the inner doctor in me wanted to mention that in full moons, I mean, first of all, everybody has parasites, and second of all, we have about 100 different species on average in the body, and they get extremely active in full moons in the body. So it's always very good to do a parasite cleanse because, you know, we have these infestations, and they actually make people a little bit loco. So if they were already loco, they're going to be even more loco. You may or may not even realize it or see it, but it's extremely important to do a parasite cleanse. And while I was out in Vegas, I did one and encouraged lots of my followers to do the same thing. So, it's inexpensive to do. It does not have to be costly. So I just wanted to bring that up. So
that's pure lunacy. You know that.
Yeah. So if you haven't done, have you ever done a parasite cleanse, Paul?
Well, in terms of retrograde, 2 days before the full moon and 2 days after the full moon, for 5 days, there's a dramatic increase in my consumption of brandy.
Interesting.
Dramatic means I take an ounce of brandy in the morning and an ounce of brandy in the evening.
As what?
And, well, I got
strong,
the impression,
right?
Well, it helps to control the parasitic movements, you know? And I increased drastically my intake of not non-fat, not 2%, but 100% pure Greek yogurt or Mountain High. So that the Lactobacillus bulgaricus in my intestines will increase to fight the little parasites that are in there. I don't know if it helps, but it certainly keeps my head a little clearer and my arteries looser.
That's good.
Especially the brandy. But it has to be the right brandy.
What brandy does it have to be, Paul?
It has to be Courvoisier.
Oh, Courvoisier. I was going to say for all of you that want to get a big bottle of brandy, very relative Christian brothers that have
Costco. I have to, I have to be a purist. There's brandy and there's cognac. And Courvoisier is cognac. Napoleon is cognac. So I'm switching to my French. But About 450 years ago, monastery in central France, operated by group called the Cistercian monks, came up with two incredible, I can't call them cognacs. Originally, they were meant to be medicinal. They happen to be 150 proof. You have yellow chartreuse and green chartreuse. So if you want to get rid of retrograde, that's what you sip. But they're quite expensive and very strong, but absolutely a gift from God. Chartreuse.
I love all this French. What was the most awesome thing that happened with France this week? I mean, you should announce that because that was so great.
Well, you know, Macron, who is the new president of France, after seeing the incredible, the tidal wave of sexual harassment outings that have happened because of Franken, because of Conyers, and, you know, especially because of Harvey, Harvey Weinstein. And by the way, you should know this. When he was in Europe, Harvey was dealing in, let's call it the slave trade, because he would buy young women when he was at the Cannes Film Festival. And when he was in England, he would buy young women through, you know, the regular channels. And the president of France came out very forcefully yesterday with an edict that France is going to take strong measures to establish legal precedents for France to control the sexual harassment of French women, which has been going on since time immemorial. And that was an absolutely unprecedented move for the French, a country in which the rape of a 14-year-old girl is considered normal.
Yeah, it's horrible. There is no 14-year-old girl that wants to be with a grown man, I can assure you.
Of course.
Right, Val? I mean, we're women, and we know, so that's such a great thing. Go ahead.
And where did Roman Polanski go after his scandal? He went to France, where he became an iconic figure, okay, a proven child molester who cannot return to the United States, who drugged.
The horrifying part of this is that they're actually doing this with 4-, 5-, and 6-year-old children. You can almost excuse it. Not excuse it, but almost kind of take some of the sting off it if you make them 12 to 14, which they're doing. But when you get that children are being cremated and things of that nature because their whole bodies
have been... that's terrifying. It's horrible. It's absolutely... It's beyond belief. It's beyond belief. We are supposed to be, after all, a civilized culture. And a Christian culture, I might add. But that Christian is ignored by all the sexual predators out there who prey on children.
Yeah, and that was, by the way, one of the things when Sherry and I were doing remote viewing, Paul, the Major Ed Dames actually had a secondary job, and he was finding these children, the deceased children for the FBI and stuff like that through remote viewing. I believe that's why Ed has a good wine cellar.
And he had remote viewing success? He had good hits?
Oh, totally.
He
undid a lot of child murders and things of that nature. I'm not even going to tell you one of them that he said because I just don't want anybody to have the image about what was done to that child.
Yeah, no, there was some bad ones. He actually ran that program for the government.
Yeah. See, Ed's a really interesting guy because the one of the things that he talked about was the difference between Russian the Russians and the Americans. The Russians actually use psychics, Paul.
And
they read what the...
I'm quite aware of that. When I was 3 years old in Hungary...
Let me finish, please.
Okay.
Americans actually, what they do is the remote viewers actually go after the information. So the Russian psychics are waiting for it. The remote viewers are going after the information, and they go after the information in teams because everybody has a different skill. So over to you, Paul.
He became a professor of literature at Yale, but he lived through the war as a child. His name was Jerzy Koszynski, and one of the first novels he wrote was about semi-autobiographical novel, his experiences in World War II as a child because he was separated from his parents. And the book is called The Painted Bird. It's a harrowing piece of literature. I read it in my 20s. He went on to continue some literary masterworks, all in English, of course. And unfortunately, a few years ago, constantly haunted by the memories of his childhood, he committed suicide in New York. Jumped out the window. But Jerzy Koszynski, Koszynski, about the horrors of what the Russians did to children in World War II. But let me put quotes around that word. Because the Russians used conscripts. The Russians, for hundreds of years, have been using Mongols, Tatars or Tartars, Kazakhs, to do their dirty work. So in World War II, several hundred thousand of the so-called Russian troops were actually Mongols. Brutal, savage, uncivilized beasts. And that is a chapter in World War II that was not treated adequately. Winston Churchill, in his encyclopedic work, 12 volumes, History of World War II, briefly touched on it, but it was such a harrowing story that he didn't expand on it. But Koszynski did. And some of the things that were done to children in World War II, of course, babies, continue to take place now, as we know. But the Scandinavian countries are the most complicit, especially Belgium and Holland.
That's horrible. What was the name of that book again?
The Painted Bird. Jerzy, J-E-R-Z-E-I. I pronounce it Z because that's how I learned it, but it's Z in American. J-E-R-Z-E-I, Koszynski. And the simplified version is K-O-S-I-N-S-K-I.
So lady and gentlemen, this is Val here. We need to make a turn in this conversation. Let's take the energy back up again, please. Right now, leaving our listeners with this horror, and this is horror, the horror should be recognized, but it shouldn't be dominating. And it's time for us to be actually creating possibility, and it's difficult to create possibility from a place of horror. So let's take a look into what we're looking at in our futures. Randy, your future has changed dramatically in the last year. Dramatically.
It has. And if you can hear, the construction is still going on in the background. Every once in a while, it seems like when I go off mute that they do something.
For 2 years, it was all about whether Randy's house was going to get sold or not. Then for another close to a year, it was about the crooks that were selling her house. And then it was about fighting about it. Then there was a hurricane that came after her. And then she went to Maine to go to medical school.
Life just keeps coming at you, you know? You cannot stop it.
So, and but you were in that place for so long, you know, with what you were going through with the house. And then when it just snapped and you ended up in such a cool apartment.
Oh, you know, and I love it.
I'm totally, I think every time we dish some of the awfulness, we have to dish the gratefulness. I'm grateful for that little boy, whether he was real or imagined or not. I'm sure that there have been children that have been grotesquely reconfigured by life that have to deal with those things. One of the ways he dealt with it, which was so just incredibly cute, is a friend of the family gave him an astronaut's head hat, so he'd go around wearing that all the time. Finally, his father took it away from him and said that the thing he wanted to see most in the world was his son's face. So he took the helmet away. There's just all kinds of kindness and love that we can give each other under the most challenging of circumstances. I actually went to the Thanksgiving, we have a Thanksgiving dinner here in the canyon, Randy, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to contribute some before I went off on Thanksgiving. And they were passing out little bag lunches because the people that made the tables happen had moved out. So it was like the community Thanksgiving dinner turned into a bag lunch, so to speak, which was a good little bag lunch, by the way, but not quite the community dinner. So I've stepped out, and I'm going to be helping create Christmas. What can we take? Yes, horrible things have happened and probably will continue to happen in different levels for as long as life continues. However, what can you do, our listener, what can you do to contribute in your community? It may be that you just go serve at Christmas dinner. It may be that you help pick up cans, or we've taken on cleaning up the post office. What is it in your community? Paul, what would you be contributing if you were doing something? If you just looked into your community and said, where would I want to show up? Where would that be?
Oh, you know, there are a number of areas in which I get involved. There's a charity known as Horizon House in Orange County, which attempts to counsel young women, whether married or unmarried, who are pregnant, to try and deter abortions. I like contributing to a remarkable organization set up by Danny Thomas ages ago called St. Jude's Hospital for Children, who now has a branch, very, very low profile, who's attempting to deal with abuse of babies. So St. Jude's, and because I have a very, very rare blood type, I will probably be going to St. Joseph's Children's Hospital for Christmas to donate blood.
What is your blood type?
I can't say. It's a negative Rh.
Huh.
It's rare. Maybe few hundred thousand.
Paul, and now you're confirming it.
You know, I don't actually remember the total classification. It was a fluke. I never knew what my blood type was, but my mother volunteered for 25 years working part-time at a hospital in Newport Beach called Hogue Hospital, and she helped to set up the blood bank, the database, and so I was one of the first donors. And within about 3 or 4 weeks, I was getting calls from St. Joseph's Children's Hospital to donate blood. Of course, you can't donate blood too frequently because as you get older, the fatigue factor becomes very very prominent, you know, and blood donations. But I'm looking, and because of our conversation, and before the conversation, at what international organizations are there established to formally deal with child trafficking and baby trafficking? Is it UNICEF? Is it you know, some other organization?
Is
I don't know. I don't know of a single international organization set up to deal with this problem.
Mel Duncan is one of the people. I'll see if I can get him back on again. I haven't had him on a long time, but he actually goes into areas where children have been picked up and are being turned into soldiers as well. You know, it's not just sexual
abuse. Oh, well, that's a phenomenon that is, you know, thousands of years old.
Right.
As we speak right now, children are being sold in the marketplace as slaves in Libya right now.
And they're being taught to kill, too.
Okay, at this very instant. Other locations, I don't know, but in Libya, it's absolutely blatant. It's out in the open, and they are thumbing their noses at the international community and doing it right now.
Wow, it's horrible. Well, is Trump going to put an end to all of that?
Well, I don't know. I'm impressed with how much he's traveled and what he's got done. And truthfully, getting Jesus back in the White House.
Yeah, what an amazing thing.
So much to me. When I looked at the pictures of the White House and I looked at what Melania had done, and there isn't just one tree there. There's a whole line of trees. And then I watched the video where they delivered the Christmas tree for the house and stuff. I start crying.
You know,
by any other name, it's still Christmas. We don't have the holidays without 2,000 years ago the Nativity having occurred. And at least I think the White House Christmas card this year will show Christmas as it should be, you know. The whole business of happy holidays. I was scandalized yesterday when I went to buy a Christmas card that celebrated the angels, the Nativity, you know. And I looked at a company called Papyrus. Very, very expensive cards. Not a single one of their cards was a Christmas card. They were all happy holidays cards.
Right. In the trash. I was so annoyed. These really high-class companies, there was one Christmas card and 40 happy holidays or peace be with you or something like that. One.
Wow, Christmas. That's interesting. I did not know that.
Oh, it just annoys me.
This is, I won't say it's a plot, it's a conspiracy. It's a nationwide conspiracy of, you know, the bleeding heart liberals, the radical left, to completely they want to secularize our society. Because by secularizing the society, you remove the spiritual and the religious constraints that give us guidance, that give us transformational guidance, and that certainly give us a framework for moral behavior.
You betcha. That's exactly. And it was the Sololinsky's plan, Paul, do you remember? I'm thinking it was Sololinsky that Barack Obama worked off to take society apart. He actually said he was doing it. I just don't understand how people can listen to somebody saying, I'm over here and I'm getting ready to do this and that to you, and they're going, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize what you were doing.
Well, you know, Barack Obama did many things which I considered instantly and immediately impeachable. What shocked me completely out of my gray flannel suit was Obama celebrating Ramadan in the White House. After he did his international Islamic apology tour, which was absolutely reprehensible, and he celebrated Ramadan in the White House to placate the Islamic community. What a phony, what a fraud, what a gargantuan hypocrite. But I'll pull the rant back and settle
down. We get him? Why is it taking so long to get them in jail? That's my question.
I don't know.
We've got treason that's been happening.
Look, he lied to the American public, I don't know how many times, about Obamacare. At least 27 times by media calculations. He lied about Benghazi. He lied about the money that was given to Iran, and that was ransom money. It wasn't $450 million. It was $1.235 billion in untraceable bills. Now, where did that money go? It went to buying weapons from the Russians and the Czechs to feed the Middle Eastern ISIS and other Islamic terrorists. That's where that money went. It's beyond belief. Benghazi. Let's take a look at Benghazi with a very clear, simple little magnifying glass. Right now, as we speak, the man who organized the attack on the embassy has been tried and found not guilty of murder. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the fact that a man, an Islamic terrorist, was arrested as the mastermind behind the attack totally negates the commentary about this silly, stupid, fabricated overnight discovery of a tape, a videotape that caused consternation in the Muslim community. So you have to appreciate not just the irony, but the revelation that the arrest and trial of this man does, because it means that it wasn't a spontaneous response to a videotape, as Hillary, Susan Rice, and Obama proclaimed for at least weeks after Benghazi. It was a well-planned and organized event to celebrate the Islamic victory in 9/11. And the man is not going to be executed. He was a foreign combatant, which means that at the minimum, a formal military firing squad. Boom. No trial. Bang. You don't treat him as a civil offender.
Well, who did this?
This just happened in the last three few weeks. He was arrested. Abdullah Salam.
Who did the trial and who didn't?
The trial's over. The trial's over.
No, I understand. Who ran the trial?
I don't know.
I want to find out what the psychology is of who it is.
I haven't had time to dig into it. We haven't received any emails about it. I have to look into it. But I think it was a combination of courts. It wasn't. It was an entirely American court. I don't know.
Yeah, we could, whether it was an American court or not, what was happening.
And of course, let's not forget what just happened in our wonderful state of California, run by a failed Jesuit who once was known as Governor Moonbeam, and now I can't even come up with the proper noun to describe him. And the Kate trial, and this illegal immigrant who's been kicked out six times is not guilty of either murder or manslaughter. He's guilty of a firearm felony. You know about this, right?
My kids were telling me about this. Now, my kids are ones that were telling me are 18 and 22 years old, and they're horrified.
It's a national scandal, okay?
Yes.
The district attorney in San Francisco loaded the jury. Loaded the jury with, and it will emerge at some point. My guess is that there were at least three illegal immigrants on that jury when the murderer, and I will never stop calling him anything but that, when the murderer was in jail, Department of Homeland Security, our guys, a division of Homeland Security is known as ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, requested that he be handed over to them for immediate deportation while he was still in jail. The jail, the sheriff's office in San Francisco, defied, and that is the right verb, defied the federal government by not handing him over to ICE. By doing that, and then subsequently releasing him without notifying ICE that he had been released, Kate would still be living, and she'd still be walking on her father's arm. Can you imagine? She's walking arm in arm on Pier 14 in San Francisco and is shot in the back. The defense attorney had the incredible gall, disgusting taste to politicize it by, after the end of the trial, saying, quote, unquote, to those who would criticize this verdict, and I refer to the Attorney General, the Vice President, and the President, you are all currently under inspection. You're currently being reviewed by a counsel. So reflect on that before you criticize this verdict. Can you imagine that he actually said that on television?
That's amazing.
Okay.
What chutzpah.
Now, the verdict of not guilty didn't even get to manslaughter. It was simply a felony weapons charge. The defense attorney did the following. The witnesses, and there were half a dozen of them, because this isn't public, this is the tourists, who saw the man with the gun, waving the gun around, were not called in. And the defense said, based on the story, that the murderer found the gun while he was sitting on a bench dealing with a sea lion. And the gun was under a piece of cloth, and he pulled it out, and it went off. The bullet ricocheted off a wall and hit Kate in the back. Ballistics would show immediately that that bullet was not a ricocheted bullet.
Okay.
Ballistics tests were not done. So I'm signing off.
Media, our radio partners, CloningCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavilyIncorporated.com, Anavon Reich, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joel Wally, Tippi Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene, Carol Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul the Plumber, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sari St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, Sherry Sharifi Brown, Roger Stone, Anavon Reich, David R., descendant of King David, RandyShannon.com, TheBodyCam.com, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, DrVal.com, and Doctor is all spelled out. Thanks to Paul C. Bragg for leaving us your daughter, Patricia, to continue your work. Big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Bernard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, and Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, and our research director, Ron Hayes. To John Young at Totally Gospel, a big thanks for all the airtime and friendship you've given us over the years. A big thanks to our webmaster, merci beaucoup to Ben Migan, for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3 next week. Invite a friend to listen. And Paul and Randy, let's just send Kate a prayer. What a way to go. God bless you.
This is for all of your crazy schemes, love and dreams, and the time you spoke them. We're almost ordinary people with extraordinary plans. We're almost ordinary people here. Hear the music, feel the dance. And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.